If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and friends, we want to hear from you. Welcome, everyone. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, something you'd like to discuss, well, we cordially invite you to call right now, 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, that's 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Bob, there's a lot going on in the news today.
The
presidential debates and primaries and all of those things are happening, and an election is in November. So a lot of people are rubbing their hands together, wondering what's going to happen. Will Trump be elected again? Will a Democrat kind of rise, and will that take us to, down a different path? And so there's a lot of worry. There's a lot of fear about the future. And certainly we have the coronavirus scare, and there's all kinds of fear that's being bandied about, because of that. And so I thought, as we started today's broadcast, I'd just read two passages that will be, I think, a help to every single believer. And the first is in Philippians chapter 4, and most of us are familiar with this passage, but it's a great reminder. So Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So there's a lot of news that can disturb us internally, that can disturb these minds of ours, that can get our emotions on a downward roll.
Yes.
And we need to protect those minds of ours. We need to protect those emotions of ours. And the way that we do that is simply turning to the Lord. It's be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key word here, with thanksgiving. That is a sign of faith. That is how we manifest our faith as far as attitudes are concerned. We know that God is bigger than any problem that is out there in this world. And we know that God is bigger than any problem that we're going to face in our day-to-day lives. And so if we're going to have some peace in our hearts in the midst of those problems, then we need to turn to the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. And we need to offer up prayers and supplications to him with thanksgiving. Let our request be known to God. So there's coronavirus cases here in the state of Texas. And so it would be easy for us here in the state of Texas to really worry about that, to be anxious. Will that affect my family? Will it affect my kids? Will it affect my grandkids? Well, what are you going to do about that? How are you going to stop that? How are you going to prevent that? Well, there's certainly some things that you could do, wash the hands and all of that sort of stuff. But you want to face it with a heart that is trusting the Lord and saying, hey, we're going to entrust ourselves to him. And we're going to allow the peace that he puts in our hearts to be the guard over our minds, be the guard over what we think about and how we think about these particular problems that are going to come our way, that may or may not come our way. So we need our hearts and our minds guarded in Christ Jesus. And the way that happens is by entrusting ourselves to the Lord in any given situation. Now, the second passage I want to read is this. It's James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Let him who asks, ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So we have these situations that are out there. They may or may not affect us. We have no earthly idea.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that we need to do is to let the peace of God guard our hearts and minds. How is that going to happen? By entrusting ourselves to the Lord, by simply depending upon Him, and in depending upon Him, making our request known to Him. The second thing, well, practically, how should we handle this? Well, let's go to the Lord and ask for wisdom. So what's one of the things that one of the requests we want to make known to God is, Lord, grant us wisdom on how to deal with these things if they come our way.
Yeah.
And so if we will let our request be known to God and let one of those requests be a request for wisdom, I think we don't have to let fear rule the day in our hearts or in our lives.
Yeah.
I think we can approach these things with an attitude of trust, with thankfulness in the heart, and with a peace knowing that the Lord is bigger than anything that we will ever face in life.
Great insights, Bob. Thank you for those thoughts. As we get underway with Basic Gospel, everybody, we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. If it's approximately 5 minutes or 6 minutes or so after 3 p.m. Central Time, well, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and the lines are wide open right now for you at 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. And again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, here at Basic Gospel, we know that there are concerns and issues that you deal with every day of your life. It could be issues like, how do I stop sinning? Or is it okay for a Christian to remarry? Well, those are just a couple of the issues that Bob Christopher addresses in the videos posted on our YouTube channel, and you'll find it at basicgospel.net/YouTube. We hope you'll take advantage of these resources. There are many videos there, and they're all free things for you to share with your family and friends. If you're struggling with these things every day, well, these, you'll find the answers there. It's all there for you. It's all free, as I said, at basicgospel.net/YouTube, and be sure to share them with your family and friends. Well, once again, 844-322-2742, and Bob, this call came in off hours. Let's listen.
Yes, I have a question. In Zechariah 14:16, I believe it's talking about reinstating animal sacrifices in the millennium. My question is this going to continue in the new earth? I ask this because I'm a huge animal lover, and I couldn't bear to see animals being sacrificed for all eternity. That's my question. Thank you.
Well, here's the passage in Zechariah 14:16 that she's referencing. It says, "Then everyone who survives of all the nations that have come against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Booths." So that's basically the passage. The Feast of Booths was the fall festival that the Jews would come back to Jerusalem. Jesus was at that fall festival. John records that in John chapter 7. His brothers had said, "You go up there," knowing that there was a plot against him. And Jesus said, "No, no, I'm going to stay back. You go ahead and go." And then Jesus arrived secretly, but he went to the temple and he taught there at the temple. And he said, "You know, anyone who is thirsty, come to me, and there will be streams of living water."
Yes.
And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And so what this really is a reference to is the fact that Jesus Christ came and he lived among us when he became flesh and blood, as John said in John 1:14. He dwelt among us. And what does that word dwelt mean? It means to tabernacle, which means to live in a tent. And that's what that Festival of Booths was. When they were in the wilderness after the Exodus, moving toward the Promised Land, they dwelt in tents, and God dwelt with them. And so that was foreshadowing a time when God would be with us forever. And we see that in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, that God is going to be dwelling with his people and we with us eternally. So that's the good news. So all of this is foreshadowing that truth, that wonderful truth. We have God living with us now, Christ in us, our hope of glory. But there's going to be a time where, you know, everything's made new, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and he is going to be with us forever. So that's good news.
Yes.
So this has nothing to do with animal sacrifices in the millennium with a third temple and that sort of thing. And speaking of that, I think we need to say right here that Jesus offered himself as the final sacrifice for sins. So Jesus presented himself to his Father in the heavenlies, and God the Father was satisfied with the work of Jesus on our behalf. So in this new covenant that we live today, it says where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. So when Jesus offered himself, all sacrifice, as far as God was concerned, came to an end. Now, the Jews continued that for another 40 years, but every year you read some of the Jewish literature, you will see that they never thought that the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement was ever accepted by God. And then in 70 AD, the temple's torn down, and that put an end to the old covenant totally. And so this once sacrifice, this one sacrifice that was done 2,000 years by Jesus was once for all. There's not going to be any need for any future sacrifices ever.
Yes.
And I think if that happens and the sacrificial system is reinstituted, talk about a slap in the face
indeed
to Jesus.
Yes.
So it's not going to be something that is God ordained.
No.
So Jesus sacrificed himself once. We live in this new covenant, and in this new covenant, our sins have been forgiven, and because of that, there is no longer any need for sacrifices.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and again, we have open lines for you at 844-322-2742. Call quickly. We'd love to hear from you again, 844-322-2742. We also want to invite you to join the live video stream of this program each day from either Facebook or YouTube. You'll find direct links at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, another call that came in off hours. Here's that call.
Hello. I was wondering if they address the difference between our identity in Christ versus his identity in us. His identity in us versus our identity in him. I think there's a difference. Thank you.
Well, Randy, there's a huge difference. I mean, Jesus in us, Jesus is God. So he has all the attributes and characteristics of God. He's omnipotent. And, you know, we can just go down the list. He's all, you know, he's all knowing, and he knows us inside and out. So he is God. He is, you know, as it talks about in Isaiah, the wonderful counselor, the almighty God, the everlasting Father,
Prince
of Peace. We see all of these things about God. Now, our identity derives from him. But first of all, we must realize that he's God and we're human beings. And we were created. We were certainly created in his image. And our identity, once we come to faith in Jesus Christ, is now derived from him. And so all the things that he has, that God has given him, we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So all the things that belong to Christ belong to us. So we are going to have eternal life. Why? Because he has eternal life. We have righteousness. Why? Because he gave us his righteousness. We have holiness. Why? Because he gave us his holiness. We're going to be with the Lord forever. Why? Because Jesus secured that for us. We have hope. Why? Because he is our hope. So our identity derives from our relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
But he's God. We're human beings. He is the all-sufficient one. We live by faith in him. And when we live by faith in him, then the all-sufficient one takes care of everything in our day-to-day lives. As it says, in our weakness, he is strong. In our bad situations, our adverse circumstances, we find out that his grace is sufficient in all things.
Yeah.
So sometimes, oftentimes, I see people really glorying in their identity. I am forgiven. I am righteous. And all of those things are true, but he's the great I am. And we're forgiven because he forgave us. We are righteous because he gave us his righteousness. So it's not that we should boast in our identity. We should always boast in Jesus, the one who gave us a new identity, the one who calls us children of God, the one who calls us saints. Why does he do that? Because of his work through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So, Randy, I just applaud you for great discernment there. There is a difference between his identity in us and our identity in him. But they're closely aligned in the fact that we're in union with Christ. And when we live by faith in the risen Christ, we get to experience the power of his resurrection, and we get to express his divine qualities out there in the world, the qualities of love and patience and all of those sort of things that Paul lists out as the fruit of the Spirit.
Randy, appreciate your call. Thanks for reaching out. And Bob, we had this question from Jay in Michigan. In Revelation chapters 1 through 3, Jesus identifies seven churches. Of the seven, five are told to repent, while Smyrna and Philadelphia are not told to repent. What does a repenting church look like? How would a church go about repenting? What are the roles and responsibilities, and who would take the lead? And he goes on to say, I enjoy Basic Gospel very much. Keep fighting the good fight. That's from Jay in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan.
Well, thank you, Jay. That is a great question. So what does repentance look like for a church? And as you said, there was a message to the seven churches that were in Turkey at that time. None of them exist today. But they all had various problems. That's why most of the New Testament was written, to correct problems in the local churches. So there was a letter to the people at Colossae. Why? Why was there a letter written to them? Because they were having problems. They were having issues. And Epaphras, the one who brought the message to the people at Colossae, had come back and visited with Paul and said, here's some good things that are happening, but here's some things that I don't know how to handle. I don't know what to say. And unless, would you write a letter so that I could take back and read to the people? And so that's what Paul did, and he corrected the problems. And so most of what we see in the New Testament was written to correct some of those things and to anchor people to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what are some of those problems that churches start to fall into? Well, like the Ephesians, they lost sight of their first love. So they began to fight evil in this world. They thought it was their job to fight the evil and to get rid of the evil that was in this world. So in doing that, in changing their priorities, they lost their first love. Well, what does a repenting Ephesians church look like? Well, it looks like a group of people who are saying, hey, we need to change our mind on what our real priority is. Why? Because that's what repentance is. It's a changing of the mind. So it's a moving away from what they established as their priority and getting back to what God has set as their priority. You know, there's just a few things in the Word of God that talks about our mandate as individuals and as a corporate body of believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we're to be ministers of reconciliation. We've received reconciliation through faith in Jesus Christ. That reconciliation was initiated by God. It was demonstrated to us through the work of Christ. He was the one that reconciled us unto himself. And it was all put forth by the love of God. So it was God's love that sent Jesus to reconcile us unto himself. And so that's our message that we send out there in the world. We also are to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the law, but of the Spirit. Why? Because the law kills and the Spirit gives life. So we're ministers of life. Why did Jesus come into this world? So that we might have life. So in having that life, we could enjoy a relationship with God the Father based on his love for you and me as demonstrated for us in Christ Jesus. That's the priority. That's the mandate that God has given to us. Sometimes we drift away from that and we think we need to be involved in social issues and be social justice warriors or be involved in whatever it may be. And we drift away from the original mandate.
Yeah.
What does it mean to repent? It means to get our minds back to the priorities that God has established for us as his church. Ambassadors of Christ, ministers of reconciliation, ministers of this new covenant, expressing the very love of God, the life of God out there in the world.
Yeah.
So it's simply would look like a group of people, either led by a pastor or led by some elders in there who have seen, hey, we're missing the boat here. We need to get back to what God has called us to. Years ago, this happened with our ministry. We really got involved in talking about depression and talking about how depression can be overcome for believers through faith in Jesus Christ. And there were some other organizations that were out there saying, hey, people don't need to be on drugs and blah, blah, blah. And so we kind of said, well, maybe we should join up with those forces and talk about how we can overcome depression. And we had to step back and say, wait a minute, God hasn't called us to do that. God has called us to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
God has called us to be ministers of reconciliation. And so what did we do? We changed our minds and we let go of that priority to fight depression out there in the world and took up the mantle of simply telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that is good news.
Yes, indeed.
It's Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Very quickly, this question from Brooklyn, Bob, from she's a Facebook viewer. Considering that the Word of God states this, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. How many would be considered few? It makes me sad to think that so few will enter the gates of heaven.
Well, we don't know what that
actually means.
Means in the number. I mean, we look in the book of Revelation, and I think it's chapter 13, and we see, you know, the tribes, 12,000 from each tribe, and then in the next paragraph we see, and there was a great multitude of people from every nation bowing in worship to the Lord. So there's going to be a great multitude of people that have received Christ, who have entered by the gate. And who is the gate? Jesus Christ himself. But there, as Jesus said in John 14, he goes to prepare a place, and in his Father's house are many rooms. There's enough room for everybody.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean for us? It means let's go out and tell people about Jesus. Let's go out and tell people about his death, his burial, his resurrection, and that God has secured a place for them through Jesus, if they'll only receive his offer of life.
Absolutely. Well, friends, if you'd like to build your maturity and understanding as a child of God, visit our online store at basicgospel.net. You'll find books, Bible studies, CDs, DVDs, all designed to help you grow in God's grace. You'll find it all under resources at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. If you have questions or concerns, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We'd dearly love to hear from you. And again, that number is 844-322-2742. And once again, we so appreciate everyone who supports this message of grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Thank you, friends, for partnering with us. And if you haven't joined us yet, you can help keep the good news coming by donating anytime at basicgospel.net. That's our regular website. Again, basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back and join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.